Well, good morning. What a wonderful morning it is to worship the Lord. Listen to these words that come from Psalm 86, the first 13 verses. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with you. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. What wonderful words this is to start out a worship time. Because the psalmist calls out for God to teach him, to lead him and to guide him in God's ways, and for God to give him a heart that searches always for God. I want to wish a happy Father's Day to all of you fathers out there, and especially to those of you who have been fathers for other, whether they're your biological children or not. Many of you have been a role model, and folks have looked up to you and looked to you for wisdom and advice. So, happy Father's Day to all you fathers. Let's go now to a time of prayer. First, starting off with an opportunity just to let God love on you before I lead us in public prayer. So let's go now to the Lord. How often, Lord, we need to just come and just sit in your presence, to just allow you to love on us, to hold us, to lift us up, and to encourage us. So, Lord, we want to thank you for being a God who is always there for us. A God who has an open door policy where we can walk into the very holy of holies and sit in your presence and talk with you and share from the very depths of our hearts. And Lord, we realize that you are not only our creator, our sustainer, our guide, and our helper, but that you, Lord, are a God who opened the door for a relationship with you. You pursued us first. You reached out to us to, first off, through the very work of Jesus Christ, to make it possible that we could even come to you. What a blessing that is. We want to thank you for Jesus Christ, for being that atonement for our sins, so that we truly could be at one with you and come into your presence and worship you deeply and very closely. But Lord, as we realize what it cost you by sending your Son Jesus Christ, we realize that we are sinners and that there are times in our lives where we fall from the spiritual path that you have for us, that path that you desire for us to walk, to come to know you better, and also to bring glory to you and to lead and guide other folks to you. Lord, it is true that we have failed to do that at times. So we come to you now and we want to confess to you that we struggle, that there are things that are difficult in this life for us to walk on that spiritual path that you have for us. So we ask that you would guide us and direct us right to the very cross of Jesus Christ, that we might see that sacrifice that was made for us, that would allow us to be forgiven, that would allow us, as we repent of our sins and turn towards you, to be people that you see as righteous because you have placed the very righteousness of Jesus Christ upon us. We also want to thank you that the tomb now is empty, and that it's not just that the price of our sins has been paid, but you also have victory over death. By raising Jesus Christ from the dead, that no longer holds us. We also will have that same resurrection if we believe in what Jesus Christ has done for us, and we thank you for that. We want to thank you today, especially for our fathers and for those who have been fathers for us. And we ask that you would bless them in a very special way today. We also want to thank you for the people who have gone on before us, those who have prepared the way by their sacrifice that we might, first off, know you, but also that we might have a country in which we can worship you the way you call us. So we thank you for this country. And we also come to you asking that you would be there to bring great healing to our country at this time. There is great division throughout our country over a great number of topics. Some of them deal with the coronavirus, and some of them deal with structures of our society that have been there for over 400 years. So we pray, Lord, that you would work in each and every situation to bring about a peace and a comfort, to bring about an ability that we can all sit at the table together and talk about hurts and pains, talk about wounds, and find ways to resolve issues. Lord, we pray that you would raise up someone that would guide us in this direction. Someone who can be a person that would listen to all the hurts and pains and be a mediator for us. We know that you sent Jesus Christ for this, but we also need someone right now that can bring everyone to the table and that can help everyone to talk and to heal. We also want to pray for those who have lost loved ones during this time, especially because it has been a difficult time with change in customs and change in traditions and rituals when someone dies. So we pray that you would be with families in a very special way, and that you would be with those whose hearts still hurt over the loss of a loved one, no matter how long it has been. We also know those who are going through treatments right now for cancer, and we would ask, Lord, that you would give them strength, that you would make these treatments work, whatever maybe radiation or chemo that they're taking, that it would work to eradicate the cancer from their bodies, keep them well and keep them strong. We also pray for others who are waiting for doctors to determine what needs to be done. Maybe they're still in the process of doing tests and waiting for results. We ask that you would help. And Lord, we also ask that you would help in the midst of our country right now, for many are financially unstable. And we would ask that you would bring some stability for them and bring maybe opening for a job if they've lost their job during this time or have been furloughed or laid off. We pray that you would guide families ever closer together, that they might know your peace and your comfort. And Lord, we especially want to pray for those who have not come to know you yet, those who have yet to understand what Jesus Christ did for them, and to make a commitment to accept what Jesus did for them, that they might become daughters and sons of yours. And Lord, we pray for us as we come to worship that you would give us hearts of compassion for those who need to know you, and that we would not be fearful of sharing our faith, but that we would help others to understand, as someone did for us, what Jesus has done for them, that they might know salvation and eternal life. Lord, thank you. And we pray that you would open your words to us, that we might understand them, that we might take them within, and that we might truly live them and be known in this community as your daughters and sons, as your saints, bringing the very word of God to the people who need it. In Christ's name we pray, amen. It is a wonderful day to look to God and try to gain further understanding from what God has for us. On this Sunday, I want to read to you from Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Listen to the Apostle Paul's words. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we would no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Christ. For if we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again, death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. As Paul writes to the Roman church, preparing them for his upcoming visit to spend some time with them, he does write some deep theological thoughts about sin, about forgiveness, about living the righteous life, and about understanding what Christ has done for us. Sometimes it can be hard to follow the very words of Paul and understand them. But let's start simply, and I think that we can understand a little bit better what Paul is trying to declare to the Romans. First off, he says to them, should we continue to sin so that grace might abound even further in our lives? For if because of sin grace has come, shouldn't we sin all the more? And Paul says, no, we should not. No, we should not. You see, sin is nothing more than falling short of the mark that God has for us, the mark that God desires for us to live. It's just missing the target. That's what sin is. And if we can come to understand that, then it's an easy step to understand what Christ has done for us. Because when we sin, there's a payment that's required. There's a debt. There's forgiveness that must be sought out. There's mercy and grace that is poured out upon us. But falling to sin is a problem for all people. All of us struggle with it. And Paul realizes this as he writes to the Romans, and he wants to give them a word of encouragement. Paul wants them to understand that Jesus Christ died for us so that we could live a full spiritual life. He wants them to understand that Jesus Christ was willing to walk away from all of his rights and privileges in heaven. He set them all aside. In a day and age when many are calling that this is my right and this is what I'm due, Jesus Christ set that all aside. And he came here to walk upon earth. He taught, he healed, he performed miracles, he shared, he taught people how to pray. He did so many things to help people understand the scriptures and God's intent in this world by opening it up further to us. But then the greatest thing that he did for us was willingly be a sacrifice for us and die upon the cross. You see, he paid the debt for the sin that we couldn't pay for. There's nothing we can do to achieve our own salvation. There's nothing we can do to make things right. But Jesus Christ did that for us on the cross. And Paul helps the Romans to understand he did even more than that. For you see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just Christ setting aside his rights and privileges and coming to earth and walking here as we walk, that we might understand God better. The gospel is not just the cross and the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. But the gospel is also the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the empty tomb where he was laid. The gospel contains all of those things. And Paul says not only did he walk away from heaven, not only did he walk here upon earth, not only did he die for our sins, but he was resurrected. And Paul uses the imagery of baptism to help us to understand further. He says that when we are baptized into Christ Jesus, I hope you remember your baptism. The practice of baptism I'm most used to is immersion. And as we immerse people, we talk to them and we share with them about the symbolism of what that means. The symbolism that as you are laid down in the water, it is though you are dying to your old self. And then as you are resurrected, you're moving into the new life that Jesus Christ has prepared for you. And Paul says that when we live into this baptism, that we were with Christ Jesus on the day that he died for us. And one day we will be resurrected just as he is resurrected. You see, Jesus Christ died for us as a sacrifice for our sins, so that we are no longer bound by sin or by death, since he was resurrected. Do you hear that? We're no longer bound by sin. Yes, we still have problems with sin, but it's not something that keeps us chained up. It's not something that keeps you tied down. It's something that you have been released from if you have been baptized into Christ Jesus. If you have believed what Christ has done for you by stepping away from heaven, by walking here, by dying on the cross, then you also have been released because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. So as we are baptized into Christ Jesus, we enter into that same journey that Jesus Christ did. And God applies the very righteousness of Jesus Christ to our lives. The scripture says that he was the right sacrifice for us because even though he was tempted, he never fell to sin. Even though he was tempted, he never fell to sin. He is the one who is the right, the most proper, the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And since that has happened for us, and since we believe in that, God then takes the very righteousness of Jesus Christ and places it upon us. And now we are allowed to be inheritors of the kingdom of God along with Jesus Christ. Now we are daughters and sons of God because of our belief in what Jesus Christ has done for us. You see, now we can live a new life just as Jesus did after the resurrection. We can live that new life even now while we struggle. We can continue to live that new life in the way that God wants us to. There are two verses that really stand out to me about what Paul is saying here. And he wrote one of those verses in his second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 17. He says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone has believed in what Christ has done for them, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here." You see, when you believe in Jesus Christ, the very old person who was bound by sin has been put to death. And now you have freedom to live the spiritual life that God wants for you in this new life. Just as we think about that image of being raised up on our baptisms into that new life. Paul also writes the same concept and idea as he writes to the Galatians. In chapter 2, verse 20, he says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You see, it's by our faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us upon the cross that we now live a new life. Because Christ now lives within us. You see, we're not bound by that sin. And we're not held back and always falling to temptation. we can walk forward in the spiritual life, and we can be God's daughters and sons in this world. And one day we will, as Christ was, be resurrected to live for all eternity with Jesus Christ. We can think of it this way. We are dead to sin because we're alive to God through the very work of Jesus Christ. Listen to this again. We are dead to sin because we are alive to God through the very work of Jesus Christ. No longer are we held back. And no longer can we say that because of sin, I cannot walk this spiritual path. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you believe what he did for you by stepping away from his rights and privileges, leaving that all behind and walking here upon earth to show us we can walk the spiritual life with a God who loves us so much that he allowed his son to die upon the cross as a sacrifice, as an atonement for our sins. And he raised that same son from the dead that we who believe in him will be resurrected one day also. We are now dead to sin, and we can be alive because of the very work of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you to think about this. Are you willing to leave behind the chains of sin and walk in the newness of life that God provides for you through Jesus Christ? Are you willing to realize that your bondage to sin has been broken and that you can walk in the newness of life because of what Jesus Christ has done for you? Let us pray. Gracious Lord, what an incredible gift you've given to us. The very gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, in the sacrifice upon the cross, that we might be forgiven, that we might have the very righteousness of Christ placed upon us, so that we can be your daughters and sons and inheritors of an eternal kingdom to live with you forever. Thank you for the work of Jesus Christ that releases us from the bondage to sin. Thank you for being a God who cares and who loves us so much that you provided a path for us to be your children. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God does make a promise to us. God says in Isaiah 55:12, "For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." What a wonderful thing that is. So maybe our response should be this, as found in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1. "O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure." May this week be a week where you can realize in a deeper way that you're no longer bound by sin, but because of the very work of Jesus Christ, you can walk the spiritual path of righteousness in this world.